Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, October 30th, 2012. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, education voters of Idaho given until 3 p.m. tomorrow to reveal donors to Pro 1, 2, and 3 campaign. Montana Supreme Court rules against Rock Creek mine permit. Megalod makes it to Montana, and Senate candidate Dan Schmidt talks on ethics. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Police are trying to find the woman who abandoned two sons along Interstate 90 this morning. The boys, who are ages 6 and 3, were found by a construction supervisor sitting in the grass near Post Falls at about 9 a.m. The boys told police their mom, Shannon Marie Germantin of Spokane Valley, ran out of gas before dawn and had gone to get help. Germantin was apparently given a ride to a nearby gas station, but police were unable to track her from that location. Kootenai County Sheriff's Department spokesperson Ben Wolfinger said no car was found near where the boys were waiting, and Germantin's cell phone is either turned off or out of reception range. The boys were put into foster care. The Idaho Transportation Department has confirmed the 520,000-pound megalode heading for the Alberta tar sands on U.S. Highway 12 has entered Montana early yesterday morning. The two-lane-wide load consists of a giant wastewater evaporator bound for the Fort McMurray area. The activists think the wastewater evaporator is owned by Sunshine Tar Sands Incorporated. The megalode took 7 nights instead of the planned 4 nights to make it across Idaho from Lewiston, in part because of the weather. Idaho Transportation Department Director Adam Rush says the load did not move Friday night because of snow and traveled the last 14 miles into Montana late Sunday night. Because of its massive size, the load was only allowed to move between 10 p.m. and 5:30 a.m. on U.S. Highway 12 in Idaho. The Montana Supreme Court yesterday voided a stormwater permit needed for road improvements for the planned Rock Creek copper mine under the Cabinet Mountain Wilderness in the northwestern part of the state. The court found the state permit issued for the road does not do enough to protect threatened bull trout in Rock Creek. Rivette Minerals CEO John Shanahan says the decision will not block mine development, and the company has already prepared a more complex stormwater permit application for the roads that he expects to be approved early next year. The man with the job of writing a 5-year strategic plan for the Saturday Moscow Farmers Market quickly determined at a meeting last night the move from the Jackson Street parking lot to Main Street this summer was popular and that people in Moscow are not interested in growing into something akin to Seattle's Pike Place Market. Meeting with community members at Moscow City Hall, consultant Aaron Zaretsky heard that people want more vendors, more customers, better availability of drinking water, public restrooms, more shade, and more tables and chairs. Vegetable vendors say they want to stay on the east side of Main Street to keep their wares cool on hot summer days. That side of the street has more shade in the morning, in part because of the buildings blocking the sun on that side of the street. Some business owners are in favor of expanding the market north of 3rd Street. Currently, the market operates between 6th and 3rd Streets. Zaretsky suggested some of the 32 downtown businesses open during market hours could make sales on the sidewalk to become part of the farmers market. 4th District Judge Michael Wetherell ruled yesterday the group Education Voters of Idaho must publicly release the names of its donors by tomorrow at 3 p.m. Mountain Time. The group, which is in favor of Propositions 1, 2, and 3, donated $200,000 to another group, which purchased TV ads promoting the initiatives. If passed, Propositions 1, 2, and 3 would uphold Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Luna's education overhaul laws, which limit teacher collective bargaining, require a certain amount of money be spent on merit bonuses for teachers, and mandate laptops for every high school student after 5 years. Education Voters of Idaho attorney Christ Troupas said because the group is a 501c4 nonprofit, it does not have to name its donors. Troupas also argued none of the people who donated to the group knew their money would go towards paying for campaign ads, so therefore there is no proof the money was intended as political contributions. Secretary of State Ben Assersa sued, and Wetherell wrote in his 19-page decision yesterday, the voters have the right to the most full, most accurate information they can get in spite of the many obstacles placed in their way by those who would prefer to hide behind catchy, vague names. Nothing has been shown which overrides the strong, substantial interest of the citizens of Idaho in knowing who is seeking to influence them as they exercise their right to vote. Voters are entitled to know who is standing behind the curtain. Troupas said after receiving the decision yesterday, I'm reviewing it with my clients and an appeal is likely. An appeal to the state Supreme Court increases the likelihood the names of the donors will not be public before voters go to the polls next week. Education Voters of Idaho revealed the name of its chair and treasurer today, part of Judge Wetherell's order to supply information to the Secretary of State's office by 5 p.m. today. The other deadline is tomorrow at 3 p.m. for releasing the names of donors. Democratic State Senator Dan Schmidt is trying to keep his seat in the Idaho legislature, facing a second challenge from Republican Gresham Bauma, who got 47% of the vote in 2010. This time the race is for the new District 5, which consists of Latah and Benoit counties. In the 2010 election, Schmidt and Bauma ran only in Latah County, and Schmidt won with 53% of the vote. The race might be closer this year because Bauma sees his base existing mainly in conservative rural areas, which describes most of Benoit County. Senator Schmidt agreed to attend a KRFP candidates forum last night, but Bauma declined to participate. Democrats had proposed a new set of ethical rules last year, and Schmidt had been involved in an ethics investigation during this year's legislature in which Republican Senator Monty Pierce of New Plymouth was scrutinized for not disclosing a conflict of interest during a time in which the Senate committee he chairs held more than a dozen votes on oil and gas drilling and fracking regulations in the state. Monty Pierce has mineral leases on his land in Payette County, bought by the same company that had written the oil and gas drilling rules for the legislature to approve, but he got off during the panel review after a special Senate ethics committee found he did not benefit economically any more than his neighbors with similar gas leases. Here's Senator Schmidt commenting on the situation last night at KRFP.
The way ethics are evaluated in the state of Idaho, it's a closed shop. You know, the House looks at itself, the Senate looks at itself, nobody else can gripe. If there is a gripe, then the standard that you're held to is a very high standard. In other words, you have to show that this person benefited from their behavior more than anybody else would have benefited, which is it's very hard to show. That's the back to the what you were talking about in terms of donations and quid pro quo. If somebody gives me a donation and let's take me. So I got a donation from the Idaho Logging Association. And so then if I vote a certain way on a logging bill, have I been influenced by that donation? That's very hard to show. Maybe it was a good bill. Maybe it passed unanimously. And or should I recuse myself from that vote because I got a donation from the loggers? These are all, to me, what I call, you know, ethical dilemmas that a citizen legislature is going to deal with, and we currently don't have a real good mechanism to address that. And honestly, the culture in the State House is, well, before I came here tonight, I was at fraternities and sororities trying to get people to think about voting for me. And I find it similar. You know, a fraternity wants to take care of their brothers and take care of each other. And within the parties in the Capitol, I think there's a similar culture in terms of we'll take care of this ourselves.
That was State Senator Dan Schmidt of Moscow speaking about the complexities of ethics oversight in the State Senate during a KRFP candidates forum last night. Tonight at 6:30 p.m., Latah County Sheriff's candidate Keith Wilson will be in our studios to take phone calls from listeners for a half hour. Sheriff Wayne Roush had previously agreed to participate in a full one-hour forum with his opponent, but contacted KRFP yesterday to say something unavoidable had come up and he won't be attending. Second District Judge John Stegner sentenced former White Pine Cafe owner Daniel Knott to between 1.5 and 10 years in prison yesterday for delivery of methamphetamine. Knott, who is 34 years old, pled guilty in August after a Quad Cities Drug Task Force investigation last year revealed Knott was observed selling methamphetamine out of her Troy restaurant. Knott's defense attorney, Ashley Rakita, asked Judge Stegner to consider probation rather than a jail center for Knott so she could seek treatment and take care of her children. Stegner rejected probation, saying Knott continues to blame friends who cooperated with the investigation and seems not to want to treat her addiction to methamphetamines. Stegner noted Knott had been warned by law enforcement officials about selling drugs before she was arrested. Stegner asked Knott, quote, "How is that owning up to one's crimes?" Later in the sentencing, Stegner said he could not recommend a particular treatment program, but said, "You desperately need something. You are in big-time denial." Deputy Prosecutor Michelle Evans agreed treatment was needed, but said it could take place while Knott serves her sentence in jail. Evans said Knott's children are in good hands, living with her grandparents. Stegner fined Knott's $3,000 and imposed another $800 in court costs, $1,163 in restitution, with $863 of the restitution going to the Moscow Police Department's Direct Investigation Fund. The Whitman County Sheriff's Department is investigating a one-vehicle rollover, which occurred Saturday morning on the Old Moscow Road between Pullman and the Idaho-Washington state line. At first, there was some confusion as to who was driving the car. Deputies were sent to the scene at around 10:30 a.m. Saturday. According to the report, the rollover occurred with a lone driver who said she was the only person involved in the accident. Police then became aware that another person was taken to Gritman Medical Center for injuries from the same accident. According to the sheriff's office release, police eventually determined Moscow resident Florence Dakota was the driver of the car. The release says 20-year-old passenger John Bunnell of Kirkland, Washington, was taken to the hospital. According to the sheriff's office, Bunnell was not wearing a seatbelt and was thrown out of the car. He suffered several broken bones and possibly a broken vertebrae. He was taken to Gritman Medical Center by a private vehicle. A second passenger was not injured. Sheriff's deputies finally found out that the woman who made the original report was not the driver and had loaned her car to a friend and determined Dakota was the driver. Deputies say alcohol was not a factor in the accident. Well, that's it for the KRFP evening report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service, 100% chance of rain tonight, mainly before midnight, low 47, partly sunny tomorrow, high 62. 70% chance of rain tomorrow night, mainly after midnight, otherwise cloudy, low 47, and 80% chance of showers on Thursday, high 52. Currently light rain, 56 degrees in Moscow. Coming up next is This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian news magazine, followed by Flashpoints, the daily, followed by a live candidates forum with Latah County Sheriff's candidate Keith Wilson in the studios to take your calls. That's coming up at 6:30. Then we'll have a segment of Community Forum at 7 p.m. on Fair Trade Music, Planet Nancy at 7:30, and then at 7:35, episodes 7 and 8 of the radio drama Moon Over Morocco. More stuff coming up here on KRFP Moscow. I'm Lee Robartis. Jim Roach assisted with tonight's newscast. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students. You can mail your memberships to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the Radio Free Moscow website, krfp.org, or radiofreemoscow.com to find out more ways to help Radio Free Moscow. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night. This is KRFP Moscow, 92.5.